This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know who was excited, who got their stuff right, was Reese. He was really hyped. He got a perfect Final Four.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Like, yeah, my Final Four is cooking. And we separate because he has Duke winning it all, and I got Florida.
Okay. So okay.
Somebody's O has got to go. I think I'm in third place in the Odyssey Sacramento standings. I think I'm in 14th or 15th in the D'Lo and KC.
Bro, I filled out a bracket for the company one because I'm trying to be a team player and all that. And the stupid thing put my bracket in the little CBS one. I don't even know. I filled out one bracket. I filled out one bracket. I was like, cool. All right. I participated. And I looked. Wait, what the hell? I got zero points.
The worldwide joint.
How many at the kids' table?
Yeah. How many points do you have, KC? I got the Final Four right too, but
I'll look. I think
I picked the entire Midwest one, the first round, right?
I don't think I can win.
I've got 99 points right now. Can we put that up against whoever the winner is, and maybe I get it?
Well, the winner. Well,
what place would I be in?
Do anybody want to guess who's the leader? I think this is. I'm looking up right now.
Last I heard, it was a promotions person. I have a name.
Yeah, you want to guess? Name?
Jackie.
No.
It's Danielle, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's still leading.
Danielle, and she's been leading from the start. She hadn't looked back.
Danielle is the female equivalent of Jesse.
Yeah.
She just sits back there.
Just goes to work.
Does a job. Minds a business. Does not want to be social with you. Mm-hmm. Doesn't want to laugh at your stupid jokes. Just wants to be here, smile, talk sports every once in a while, do a show.
And then
once 4 o'clock hits, Jesse doesn't say another word here except,
bye.
All right, y'all. And then he's out.
Podcast got to go up.
Yeah, he's
got YouTube's got to go up.
He is done talking after that.
So the way I look, I think, yeah, it's a done deal. She's won. Or no, I can't say that. I'm just looking at her max. So yeah, so she could still lose. But Danielle is in first place. Jesse, do you have the standings in front of you?
Let me pull mine back. I got 99 points. The max I get is 163.
I was going to say, I'm trying to make sure. I'm really trying to think before I say this. But I don't think I know who the second place is.
You don't know the person who it is?
No.
Hey, I only got one game wrong in the Midwest bracket. I'm looking at it right now.
Mm. Yeah. Who's that? Who that right there?
Oh, you don't know someone too?
Oh, she's on our government side.
Oh.
She don't come in the building.
Oh.
That doesn't count. No, hell no. You're going to win a gift card. You don't even come here?
Nah.
You don't even go here.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know that person. And your boy, I'm on the down. Third place. Wonder, right. do I get like a $10 gift card? I don't even know if there was a buy-in to this thing.
No, that not is a company no, bracket. There was definitely not a
There's
buy-in.
There's gift cards to win, though.
There's definitely not. You get extra chips from the Snack Shack or something.
Oh, no.
Doesn't exist.
Poor Joe Brazil.
I think Joe's over there making like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich with all that bread out there? What is Joe doing?
It's like
did Joe get peanut butter from
he's
James's
making a PB&J and he's got a Red Bull there too. PB&J and Red Bull.
Joe Brazil out here trying to live. I bet Joe going to the game tonight. He excited.
Yeah, man. Shout out Joe, man.
That's awesome. I don't know why it's funny. The bread has been like the talk of the show. And Joe just out there with some peanut butter and some jelly and
no, I think he's got pens.
Oh, is that what he's doing?
Pens.
It looks like
I think he's sorting out pens right now.
It looks like he's sanitizing pens.
I think that's what he's doing. Those look like pens, like the little blue clear ones or whatever.
I thought he was by the bread and that was a big jar of peanut butter next to him and
Joe's just making a sandwich.
I don't know why the idea of Joe Brazil making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich at the table is so funny to me.
He's got his own peanut butter
not
and jelly
home.
Too.
I can't. Well, also, Joe's not a child.
Well, like, don't do that to peanut butter and jelly.
Wait, what do you mean by that? Hold on.
No, mine is predominant. What, you guys eat PB&J?
Absolutely.
Yeah, if I need a snack, I'll make a PB&J.
Yeah, a sandwich is a snack?
A PB&J
yeah,
is a snack.
It's not a meal.
Yeah. I'm not having
like,
a PB&J for
I'm not
dinner.
Like, oh, I'm good now. It's like, I need something real quick. Let me make this PB&J.
I'll have like a PB&J maybe after dinner before bed.
You know when I have my PB&J?
Really?
More times than not is after a workout because the whole peanut butter thing.
Yep. Solid.
That's usually how that happens. But I'll have one in the middle of the day.
Well, I'm not a guess. It seems like a
solid
snack.
Well, you put an age limit on it.
Well, no, I don't know. I don't know why. Maybe it's because if I'm at home making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, I'm by myself.
Get his ass.
But for some reason, watching a grown-up make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich is funny to me.
Yeah, making the PB&J.
When's the last time you made a PB&J?
I'm not sure. I'm sure it wasn't that long ago. Like, but I know the last time I did it at work.
Well, yeah. That's the issue there. I'm not making a PB&J.
But don't
at work.
We have a giant thing of peanut butter in James's little snack locker?
I don't know if he's got that access. I don't know if he's got that
Joe.
I don't know if he's got that G14 class.
I'm not giving him that code.
Joe ain't paid his dues yet, huh?
Yeah, I'm not giving him that code.
He might not have that G14.
Wow.
Yeah, I got level 1 access, buddy. I don't know what you're
doing. Joe ain't paid his dues yet.
Your card don't swipe.
Tough look. Tough look for our man Joe.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I'm not gonna say I wouldn't. Maybe I wouldn't make a PB&J here. I just
Well, now we've talked about it for 10 minutes. It doesn't sound like a terrible idea. No. That is in fact not what he's doing, but
yeah, he's actually working.
All right.
And those are definitely pens. I think he's sanitizing them.
Why are there so many pens over there?
Well, because we have like a little station area back there by the printer where it has like all kinds of office supplies and stuff.
By the way,
I don't think I knew that.
I didn't know that until like this year.
We might just have a starting five here today.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean that's normal.
Yeah, I know it's Monday. Like, that's what they usually do. But
yeah,
I'm not saying they're not working. I'm just saying in the building.
I mean, I saw Jackie here.
That's one.
Joe's here.
Two.
Charlie's here.
Three.
We're here.
Four, five, six.
Andy's probably here. Complex is in the back.
Complex. Oh, we got a team.
That might be it.
Jonathan and Seth?
Jonathan's definitely here.
And those guys are always here.
Jonathan's always here.
We got eight. We got some subs.
Hey, the Chatty House PB&J recipes are looking pretty crazy.
Yeah,
what the hell?
What do you mean?
Guys, no.
Why?
I'm not even going to put someone on blast. Like, some of them are like...
Whoa. What do you mean?
Is it David Wins?
Huh?
Is it David Wins?
No, what did he do?
David Wins is wilding too.
What's the problem?
David Wins is talking about put cinnamon, honey, and cashews in it, make it more mature. Well,
there's nothing wrong with that.
I don't know that I'd put peanut butter and jelly.
I don't know that I'd put cashews on with the peanut butter, but I don't have no problem with the cinnamon and honey. What do you guys
on a PB&J?
Well, what's the problem? Why?
No, because you already got your flavor with your jelly, and you got your peanut butter.
Why don't you take it up a notch, use the cinnamon and honey, and slice some strawberries into it?
Coach Molly, I'm sorry. But she's throwing out peanut butter and cream cheese.
Oh, okay, all right, Coach Molly, settle down.
I'm sorry.
Like, Coach, that's...
Come on, man.
Don't make me say it.
Come on.
Don't make me say it. We all know what that is. Don't do that, Coach.
What are we doing, man? What are we doing? And then I got to ask the question, because this says a lot about you as well. Is it creamy or chunky peanut butter?
Creamy.
So when's the last time you had Chunky? Because I used to be with on that team as well. Hey, that's how you play that game. I didn't say it. Throwing a flag on what?
Calm down, Isaiah.
You said it, not me.
Man, this guy over here.
I didn't say it. You said it. But yes, I like Chunky peanut butter as well.
Bro, you asked me when the last time I had Chunky was. What are you doing?
You might find this on the best of D-Lo.
Can't even talk peanut butter.
That might be the best of.
Goodness gracious.
No, man, we can't do creamy, man. I'm not going to say we can't. Hey, don't flag on him.
Watch your language. That's not a warning.
I didn't even get a warning.
Hey. Well, you're the official. You need to know better.
I said that team.
Hey, but I go with the Skippy Chunky peanut butter.
If you eat it the other way, it tastes like eating a marshmallow. It's too soft now.
So you say once you get there, it's no returning.
Yeah.
I can understand that.
This is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
It makes sense.
Coming from the guy who doesn't eat PB&J.
That's not what I said. I just don't make it at work. That's all I said.
That does make sense, too. I don't know. If they got the right stuff here, Graper Strawberry Jam.
Hey, they had a shrimp cup of noodle in a little snack shack. I almost made that the other day.
We are going through it.
Like, who put cup of noodles in there?
You throw a little tabatillo and mustard in there, you're good.
Yeah, if you live to see the bottom of the bowl, doesn't that stuff kill you?
Not yet.
That can't possibly be food.
Don't shame.
Come on, man. Stop it.
A Big Mac for nutrition?
If it doesn't expire, it can't possibly be food.
Whatever it is good. And I'm still here. I'm still here. Still standing, still strong.
No. All right. Yeah. What's your problem with strawberries on peanut butter and jelly? Or instead of jelly? What's your problem with that?
Instead of jelly?
Yeah.
So just strawberries?
Just use strawberries or blueberries or something.
I guess in theory it's not the worst thing in the world, but just give me the jelly. Strawberry jelly. No grape. I was brought up on grape, and then I discovered strawberry. And... ain't no going back.
See, we started strawberry at my house, and then I went grape.
Are you only allowed to have one jelly at a time?
Who's out there buying two jellies? We're in a recession right now, bro. Are you buying two jellies? Damn, you got money.
All right, man.
The strawberry for me, man. Yes, it's only one at a time.
So I didn't mean put both of them on the sandwich. I meant today I feel like grape. Today I feel like strawberry.
Dame's baller enough to buy two jellies.
Well, that's a good point.
I can only go grape. Maybe 2 weeks I'll go strawberry, but I can go one at a time.
Kim's mom once made me strawberry jelly.
Really?
Kimberly's mom, yeah.
Homemade
strawberry jelly is fire.
Yeah.
Strawberry jelly is fire.
I
had strawberry syrup on my pancakes yesterday at IHOP. Big ups.
Okay.
Shout out IHOP right off the...
So strawberry is your bag then?
Did you get the strawberries too? Like actual strawberries?
Nah, I was in a hurry. I didn't want to...
What?
I was like, let me just get these pancakes, get the 2x2x2, and then get that, and then I had to go.
But the strawberries would have slowed you down.
I didn't want to experiment. Did
you eat there? Did you get it to go?
Yeah, I ate there.
Did you eat by yourself?
No, the whole family was there.
Oh, that's like strawberries on the side or in a cup.
Like, yeah, no, I just why? No, why just, was strawberry such a big adventure?
Well, no, I just wanted to go with what I knew.
Hey, I was like, you're thinking.
Can you imagine Reese like, hey, can I get some strawberry? We're in a hurry, son.
That's what I was thinking too.
We gotta go. We don't have time for your strawberry.
That's gonna add 30 seconds.
I'm talking about for me because I don't normally get that. There wasn't the time to experiment with how I like to put it on the pancakes or nothing. Like, no, just give me the jelly. It's good. Just give me the syrup. It's good. Let's go.
Where were you guys going?
I had a basketball game.
You did?
Yeah, and I had the
bright idea. So you were carb loading.
Well, I don't know. They offered, and I said, I can't turn down some IHOP, so all right, I'll be there.
Who
Cheryl
offered?
Cheryl in Elk Grove. She was like, do you want to go to IHOP? I was like, all right, I got a game, but I'll swing by there. I had a game like an hour and 30 minutes before. I was like, all right, I'll stop by there.
Cheryl in Elk Grove does not feel like an IHOP woman.
Oh, she loves IHOP.
How much did Cheryl talk about me when she got to the car on Saturday, Friday?
Not a lot. We rode separately.
So. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that was weird because you were told to wait and give us a ride home. It's like, well, will you let them leave?
No, yeah. Either one of us would have been all good. But yeah.
TC, hang tight. TC wants to change the subject and talk about something more mature. So we'll come back. We'll talk about the Sacramento Kings. We are your unofficial countdown show as the Sacramento Kings hit your television sets at 4 o'clock. We'll get you ready for that. Baseball, Major League Baseball for the first time in Sacramento tonight at Sutter Health Park. We'll talk more about that. And a couple of 49ers pieces of news to bring to your attention.
COVID?
When KC, no, thank God. Thank God. See them with KC here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Right, let's get to the Elk Grove Kia talk line. Brother TC waiting on us, 916-909-1320. TC, what's happening, baby?
Hey, man, what's up with my two brothers, bro?
We good, man. What's good with you?
Oh, just tapping in with the homies, man. You know what? Hey, I'm not even really frustrated with these dudes no more, bro. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, this is where I stand at with the Kings, right, bro? I'm still not, I would never be on the tank or none of that, right? I'm within, get in the play-in, bro. If we win both the games and get in the playoffs and get swept by OKC, to me, that would be a successful season, bro. How this whole season went. So if we get into a playoff series, bro, and lose, to me, bro, that's a success. What I like moving forward, Uncle V, we talking about fireworks, right? You got the A's out here. Why don't you break news, bro, and say, you know what? Monty McNair is relieved of his duties. Bob Myers is our new GM, and Doug Christie is the head coach moving forward. These two guys will work awesome together. Kings fans, be excited next season moving forward, because I believe Bob Myers can come in here and orchestrate the moves that need to be done with the DeRozans or whoever need to be moved, bro. I trust that dude with his plugs around the league. That's the GM. Uncle V, if you're listening, it's your boy TC, bro. Do it, big dog.
Shout out TC, man. Appreciate you, man.
He did say Bob Marshall, right?
I thought maybe I just zoned out. I thought he said Myers, but maybe not.
I thought he said Bob Marshall. He did mean Bob Myers if he did. Maybe.
Hey,
maybe
Vivek, if you're listening, though, that was your boy TC.
It's your boy.
It's your boy.
Get the job done. I think I'm out on the Bob Myers thing. I don't think you need a Bob Myers.
Why is this such a thing? Is it because he's kicking it?
He's available and he won championships.
He left the dynasty also before, like, he got kind of bad, so like he's associated probably with the better parts of it. Like he's just still good GM people's minds. Not that he was a bad one or anything, but
Okay.
And he would
I mean, it's not just TC. Like, I feel like Kings fans are kind of, I don't want to say they're rallying around it, but it is it's a name that's come up pretty regularly. I mean, maybe there's the Warriors tie-in. Vivek obviously loves the Warriors.
What are the chances you think the Kings are able to get an established general manager?
Well, to be clear, I don't think there's any chance they're getting Bob Myers.
I don't think so either.
I don't think there's any chance Bob Myers is returning to the NBA either. I don't think that's a Sacramento thing. I don't think that's something
he's great
he's
on
doing.
The mic.
Okay. Well, that is certainly one man's opinion. what do I think the chances of? Give me an established general manager's name, because, like, I'm not sure. Like, one that's unemployed, are you going to move an assistant from another organization? Is there an up and coming general manager out there somewhere? Jill Adge, are you out there? Can you are we starting the podcast again? I don't know. I don't know. I think people will ask Monty his experience. It's tough. I'm going to go. They'll probably have to go. You know what I wonder? I wonder if this is a Jerry Jones thing, where you get a younger general manager in here and Vivek can just kind of oversee, or Vlade or whatever, whoever can just kind of oversee something and ultimately be the final decision maker without putting their name on being the final decision maker?
Sweet, we learned nothing.
Well, when was the last time the Kings did learn something?
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's kind of, for me, not worst case scenario, I don't want to be all doom and gloom, but it's pretty simple, I feel like, what you need to do this offseason.
I'm not going into this offseason, Jesse, feeling like, oh, the Kings are going to learn something. They're not going to repeat a mistake.
Yeah, no.
It's really just, what mistake are they going to repeat? Are they going to repeat the Vlade Divac? Are they going to repeat
the shadowy? That's the one I feel like they probably will, the special advisor guy.
Are they going to repeat the shadowy figure, special advisor? Are they going to repeat that mistake? Are they going to repeat the two GMs mistake? Like, which one are they going to do?
I think they're, I don't know, it's not like we haven't noticed Vlade there for the last season or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that's
I don't think Vlade ever actually went away.
Yeah.
So like, Vlade was fired and just here the next day.
So, and this goes back to, like, what I talked about earlier, though, because I know there's always, like, this shadowy figure making decisions. Is that the problem, or did they not have the guy who would say, that's fine, I'm making the decision? It's me. This goes back to what we talked about earlier. Yeah, when the guys just kind of ho-hum.
But like, I think you were, your description was of Monty and Wes, no?
Monty and Wes, but I was just saying, like, chaos around, or perceived chaos around you, right? Like, because I...
But if there is a figure appointed by Vivek to be a special advisor, and you say, hey, we're going to go make a trade for Trae Young. And the special, hey, we've got it all in place. Atlanta's agreed. Like, we've got the deal done. And the special advisor comes in and goes, no, you're not. That special advisor was appointed by.
I don't know if it goes down that way, though. I think that's not a special advisor anymore. That is somebody who's making the decision.
Mm-hmm.
The special advisor would say, I wouldn't do that. But it's not my call.
I got you.
We're just calling him a special advisor because we called him our GM last time.
That's the power Joe Dumars wanted that Vivek said no to.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why Joe Dumars works in the league office and not the Sacramento Kings. He wanted to oversee Monty and Wes and be the final decision maker.
Final boss.
At least that's what we were told.
Right. And that's what I, so that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know. And maybe he feels differently about Vlade or respects him more or something like that. But if he had enough sense not to do that the first time, why do we think he's doing that now? Talking about Vivek having somebody else pulling the strings.
Yeah.
So I think it comes down to more having and I don't want to be disrespectful to the guy, but just having a guy that will put his foot down and let it be known, the buck stops with me. And if there's anything around here that I'm not feeling like, I'll let you be an advisor. I'll let you be an assistant GM and do the thing. I'll empower you to do that. But it's all on me. I'm making the final decision. And if you have a guy like that, I feel like you can have damn near anybody you want to in the building. If everybody knows this is where it goes down. Because every time I talk to somebody about this, nobody says it's, the things that we've seen this year is anything other than Monty McNair's call. Whether it's the trade for Fox, what you got back from Fox, maybe the decision to trade De'Aaron Fox might have been out of his hands a little bit. And now what I mean by that is that's number one, the player saying, get me out of here. And then the owner has to okay, you know, are we gonna trade this franchise guy? So there's that.
Mm-hmm.
But what you get back in return, I've heard that was Monty. You know what I mean? I've at least trading him now in the middle of the season, that was Monty McNair. Like I said, the decision maker being Monty McNair. I've never, and I don't have all the sources that others do, I've never heard anything different from very credible people.
Okay. Well, I believe you then.
So if it's...
I've only speculated. And my feeling was not based on what people told me specifically, just based on conversations I had, maybe it was, maybe Monty was in on the idea. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of people that liked Zach LaVine all over the organization, and they saw this as the opportunity to go get him. Maybe Monty was one of those people. And I just didn't know it.
I don't know. It's one of those things, like you said, do things the right way, but you also have got to you got to make the right calls in this situation. Like we talk about the draft, once again, I haven't heard anything other than Monty McNair was making those picks.
Okay, so let's take all of this into account. Wes is gone. Monty's been making all the decisions. Is his firing warranted?
Monty's firing.
LaVine, DeMar, De'Aaron, HB, no OG, no Pascal. Is his firing warranted in 3 weeks? Probably. Barring a miracle.
It's warranted. It is warranted. I can answer that. Would I do it? I'm not always sure about whether. I go back and forth with that. Like when it's like, yeah, he's got to go. Sometimes it's like, I don't know. I don't know if that's necessarily the move, but I know I'm in a minority with that one. A lot of people think he definitely needs to go. And he has made his own bed with some of his decisions. And these are high stake decisions. It's different when, you're on a come up, you know, when you sign a Malik Monk, Kevin Herter, there's no real pressure there. You know what I mean? You're on a come up, but trying to sustain or grow, and you haven't made the right decisions in those moments, that'll cost you your job.
Mm-hmm.
That's just what it is. And while even to the point where, you know, I feel differently about DeMar DeRozan than a lot of people. You know, I think he's been great as an individual. Bottom line is, you're a 10 seed that hasn't worked. That has not been, some people will look at it and say it's his fault. I'm not here to say that. But the bottom line is, just talks about all the time, it's a bottom line business. That move hasn't worked. It hasn't uplifted the team to the point where, you know, they're going to another level of success. So that kind of goes against you. Like, you picked the wrong guy to get.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, I think.
Hopefully your draft pick could play these last 8 games, too.
Well, and I think that's in serious question, is there were reports that he left the game in Orlando in a sling?
It didn't look good.
Like,
it did not look good.
You're talking about playing the next day. He left it like a sling? Yeah, this
it was a bit of sarcasm on that one. It's
just, yeah, I got that. Yeah, this is
played great for a couple of weeks, and we're back to square one again. Looks like,
yeah,
like great money.
One of the things, and I could be entirely wrong about it, but he looked like somebody that I know what this feels like with that shoulder.
Oh yeah,
that's the when I saw him, yeah. And he didn't. He didn't try to loosen it up.
Yeah.
He didn't try to, like.
Could have been a little fear.
Could have been. And he could have been scared.
Yeah, could have been.
That doesn't mean that's exactly
what it was. Don't blame him for that, by the way.
No, not at all. That could have been more so what it was. But it looked like, oh, no. Like, I know what this feels like. Or at least I think I know what this feels like. I hope it's not the case. But that's what I saw. He didn't even try. And I'm not saying he should have tried. I'm saying he, like, almost knew, like, there's no trying with this. I know what this feels like. Or I know this pain. Or I know this discomfort. And I just hope I'm wrong. So I hope it's not anything like that.
Yeah, I hope not. I hope not. I genuinely feel bad for him if that's the case. But, man, what a tough – it's a tough rookie year for Devin Carter, who in recent weeks had proven to be a player after very much not looking like a player. And now you've got this game coming into Indiana where the Pacers score 180 points a game. And you're going to have to find a way, slight exaggeration, you're going to have to find a way to get guys to hit shots. God damn it, here we are again. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to get guys to take shots. I don't know why this team has all of a sudden gotten scared.
Oh, man. Jeez.
Maybe they were tired. Maybe they were sleepy. Maybe the 2 o'clock start beat their ass. But, man, that 8 shots for Zach LaVine. We're back there again, huh?
Jeez. All right, man. Somebody threw in the chat house earlier, like, career year, Zach LaVine just never got here.
Hmm. Well, I mean, and we talked to Marshall. Were we on air or was it? No, we were off. We were talking to him off the air.
Hmm.
And obviously he's in Chicago and he's seen Zach LaVine and seen him here in Sacramento. And he's just like, yeah, that's not the guy that I saw. You know what I mean? He's not even like a big Zach LaVine fan, but he's just like his style of play, the way he played, the way, you know, he was aggressive offensively. He's like, it's not the same guy I saw. He doesn't do those things here. And, you know, we're not always exactly sure why, but he doesn't have the same mentality that he had in Chicago, which is just concerning. It's concerning. Will he ever? And I agree with James and other people when they say, like, you got this guy for a while. Like, is he going to always have this mentality?
It's holding the team back. Like, you need him to be like Zach LaVine, who he's been his whole career. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, this isn't going to work.
Right.
Well, they're going to need something because there's 8 games left, and they can't have another performance like they had the other night, other day, other afternoon. I don't know. Can't do that, though. I know you got Charlotte coming up. You got Washington coming up. You just have to find a way to be better. And I don't know. This team just feels so frustratingly timid. Domantas Sabonis, same stuff from him. Went more Malik Monk minutes. I mean, Doug obviously waved the white flag early on this because game was a disaster after the third quarter. I mean, it was a disaster after the first quarter. It was a massive disaster after the third quarter. And they're going against a much better basketball team tonight. But that's not always the way basketball works. Indiana could have an off night. They could, you know, something Sacramento does can frustrate them. Sacramento could get hot. They could feel some energy. They could move the ball around. Like, it's impossible to predict or understand the demeanor of this basketball team.
It really is. It really is. You definitely do not know what you're getting from game to game with these guys. And that's the frustrating thing, but that could also be something that gives people hope, you know, for tonight. Like, there is a possibility that they show up tonight and they shoot the lights out and they hit their threes. That's the other thing. They turned the ball over a lot on Saturday and they didn't hit three-pointers. And yeah, it just kind of feels like this team doesn't have any chance of winning if that's the case. Like, you're turning over and you can't hit threes. Never mind, like, the other team was hitting threes at a high rate. You got to be able to hit the three ball if you're the Kings. And tonight they could. You know, they have that ability. They have those scores out there. So let's hope so. Let's hope so. I'm not overly confident, but we'll see.
Let's get our man Mitch in here. Elk Grove Kid Talk Line 916-909-1320. This Mitch, what's up, buddy?
Damon, how you doing, Casey?
What's up, man?
Is that the grandbaby in the background?
I'm in the doctor's office here. My son, my grandson had hives Thursday and Friday with the light scare.
Okay. All right. But, okay.
Yeah. Go on, Norris. I was trying to call earlier with the opening act. Jackson was good. Hoping to talk to him tomorrow. He's on it tomorrow. You know, it's good. Listen, I understand. But I say we fire the GM. Don't even make the play in. I'd love to see him get that kid, Dylan Harper. That's what I hope.
And I Me wish, too.
I wish my Dodgers had traded for Cody Bellinger, because Conforto, if he couldn't make the Giants, I don't see him being a good part with the Dodgers.
Well,
okay.
Well, Mitch.
Good luck at the hospital, Mitch.
Yeah, for sure. Take care, man, to you and the whole family. A couple things there. Number one, I like what I've seen from my Giants so far. Nice little 2-1 series against the Reds to start the season. My boy Elio Ramos, you're the truth. Last year's all-star for the Giants. He's the truth. He's shown once again last year wasn't a fluke. That's the guy we have been waiting for 7 years. That's what I'm talking about right there. So I like what I'm seeing from the Giants. So be aware, Mitch. Be aware. Second, I mean, I'd love to get Dylan Harper here in Sacramento. That would be great. That'd be great.
What's the sarcasm in that?
He's going to be like the number two pick in the draft.
Well, we got to win the lottery then. We got to win the lottery, get everybody excited for him, and then draft somebody else.
I mean, Atlanta did it last year, right? They weren't that bad. Maybe we could be the Hawks.
Maybe.
How are the Hawks doing?
I think Reese Shea scored like 26 yesterday.
He actually is playing pretty good. He's starting to find his groove. And Alex Saar is too.
High times KG. Yeah, KC used to be the optimist. Look what the Kings did to the poor guy.
There is a limit to my optimism. I'm not anticipating.
Like Dame said,
Harper.
Show started today and KC said, what? What are we doing this for? What's all this for? You're going to lose anyways. Lost a smile.
Yeah. Sorry, I've also been distracted. I've been spending the last 3 minutes watching Shaquille O'Neal highlights.
Shaq's
and he is who?
He is Shaq's son, and he is the newest Sacramento State Hornet. This is the transfer portal. This first new guy. So, yeah, he looks like an athlete. I've seen him. You know, he got a couple. This is a basketball term, everybody. Relax. Couple head tops. You know what I mean? So get your popcorn ready for Shaquille O'Neal on the break out here in Sacramento next year. Big ups, baby. Stingers up. Let's go. And then Aldrin asks, we're going to see Shaq at the well? Probably. Mike, maybe. I'm listening to the interview again. Great job by you.
Me?
Yeah, you did good. You did great.
Oh, we did the interview together.
We did. I'm just, you know, I don't want to be like, oh, great job by me. I'm not going to do that.
No, I thought we killed it.
Yeah.
I'd do it. Great job by me.
But I caught it again. Mike Bibby said, or now that I think about it, maybe it was when he was with Jake Gayden. But he said there's going to be a lot.
Jeez.
Well, I don't want to misrepresent. Hey. I don't want to misrepresent because I'll be like,
go ahead and misrepresent on this show if it's going to benefit us.
Yeah, but. You can fact check
that. Yeah, no, hey, go check out Jake Gayden's interview with Mike Bibby, guys.
Well, no,
forget what we did.
You can fact check that. I don't want to.
Fact check. What have we ever wanted? You, how many times have you been chatty housed? Now we care about being right.
But the point is, he said there's going to be a lot of stars in the building at the well.
And actually,
the Aldrin's.
Oh, maybe, yeah, yeah.
Maybe Shaq will.
Yeah, that wasn't our interview.
That's what I'm saying.
Might have been. Go watch ours just in case it might have been. Shaq, what do you think about your son coming to play for Sacramento State?
Good, good.
Well, Jesse, I'm glad you asked. I reached out. I was one of the guys reached out to Mike Bibby. I said, Mike, since my son was 2 years old, he wanted to play at Sac State. So,
Shaq, that's
I'm talking about my son in the transfer portal. You ain't never been in no transfer portal. You don't know nothing about that.
I'm not transferring anywhere, Shaq.
So, I looked at him. I said, Shaquille. When he was 2 years old, I said, do you want to be a Sac State Hornet? He said, yes, Daddy, I do. And I said, the time will come, son, when you go to Sac State. And the time is now. He's going to be a Sac State with my Biggie, my Bibby. He's going to be he's gonna be a Sac State with Coach David Patrick.
And then we're gonna Coach David Patrick is at LSU, Shaq. your alma mater.
I'm telling you, he's at Sac State.
No, he's LSU. He's literally at your. They have a statue, I think, of you there.
I know who's at LSU, and it's not David Patrick. He's at Sac State. So now secure is going to be playing in Sexton.
No, Mike Bibby, the guy who hit the shot over your team, is.
I love watching him play. I love watching Sac State under Coach David Patrick. I love watching him play. He's doing a great job.
Okay, Shaq, thank you. Thanks for joining us.
You can go now.
Yeah. You called for that.
Sometimes the guests overstay their welcome.
He said Coach David Patrick doing a great job over there recruiting.
He did not say that. Oh. Stop it.
What was it? He said Chauncey was coaching Detroit.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Chauncey Billups.
He said Chauncey's really got them playing over there. They're doing a great job. Candace says,
I don't watch Detroit.
Candace said, it's Bickerstaff. It's not, I can't let this go. Like, it's not Chauncey. Oh, yes, it is. Chauncey Billups coach Detroit Pistons.
All right, man. Well, let's put this to bed forever. James Hamm's actually going to join us. James Hamm, I think, is on his way to the studio. He's going to join us here in studio before heading out to Sutter Health Park, and we'll talk for a little bit. We got Kings basketball. Obviously, the Kings play at 4 o'clock there in Indiana as this road trip continues. Kevin Durant out for a week. The Kings got a game and a half right now on Phoenix. Yeah. They're half a game behind Dallas. Dallas is in Brooklyn tonight.
Yeah, I got to go. Man, find a way to get a W, and it would feel great. It would feel like, oh, man, you did something. It would almost, especially with the way Indiana's playing, it would almost wash this thing away from Saturday. If you're able to, it would make people even more perplexed. But,
yeah,
like, if you could win this, because Indiana's hooping right now.
Yeah, they're hooping. Playing really, really well.
And you could bounce back and find a way to win it and be like, oh, man, that's some great stuff. And you get to see the beam lit live during the A's game. That would be awesome.
That would be fire. But Kenny says it's not going to happen, so don't waste your time. We'll come back. James Hamm will join us here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. James Hamm going to join us, I think, here in studio here in a couple minutes. I don't know. Maybe KC will come back. I don't know. Maybe I'll just do the rest of the show myself. Maybe we'll talk all the way up until 4 o'clock when the Sacramento Kings take on the Indiana Pacers. Maybe we'll talk all the way until tonight when Sutter Health Park hosts the very first Major League Baseball game in the history of the city. I wish things were a little bit better for Sacramento, meaning the Kings. I wish things were a little bit better for the Kings. Hey, turn around and look at your boy. Look at this dude. Yo, look at your boy back there. Just like we're back, we're doing the show, and your man is just rummaging through
this
bread.
No, he's just looking through the bread right now.
He's for real just kicking it.
Let's just wait for Kenny. Just wait.
Bro.
You don't even know. Let's see. He's going to turn around.
Your boy is wild, just man. Just look, ain't nothing. Just eating some bread. Ain't
don't even
nothing
know,
to
look
it.
All nonchalant.
This dude has absolutely no concept of time.
Nah, Kenny time is
absolutely none.
Insane.
No, absolutely none. No, take your time getting your rolls and your bread. You know, we've been back for like 5 minutes.
5 minutes.
This bro, just munching on rolls.
Oh, this dude. I look over and you're rummaging through them rolls over there like, all right, James is supposed to be here. I don't know where James is at. He was the one who moved the time. Man, what a day.
How were the rolls, though?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
What are they, sweet rolls? What are they?
It kind of just.
There's a lot of talk about that bread. You and Marshall was really eyeballing that bread over there.
Texas Roadhouse type or? Cool. Huh? Just regular Texas Roadhouse type rolls or?
Yeah. It's good, though. It's good. It's good.
Looks like you're having a good time over there.
Today would be a bigger day for Sacramento if the Kings were better, right? Like if they weren't games below 500, if we weren't clinging to the 10th seed, if this season hadn't been such a disappointment, if the coach hadn't been fired, De'Aaron hadn't been traded, if there was more of a vibe around that beam and all of that, tonight would be, today, even with the bad weather and all, today would feel special. I mean, it does. Like, it still feels special to me. But it's magnified. Like, so much of the sports landscape in this market is dictated by the Sacramento Kings. Having baseball come in here and piggyback off of that is amazing, or would have been amazing. Instead, baseball's got to come in here and create its own excitement because Kings fans are frustrated and they have no idea what's going to happen over the course of the next 2.5 weeks.
Casey and James is earlier. Do you think, Damian, that the A's could take some love away from the Kings being here for the next few years, or do you think they got to be permanent for that?
I've seen people
if the
like,
Kings are bad.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, like, if the Kings are bad, sure. Hmm. Like, if we go back to, you know, puke guy era and, you know, bad head coach hirings.
We've heard so long. Like, the Kings are so lucky. They're the only team in town, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And I wonder what that's going to look like the next few years.
Yeah, it's possible.
I still do think that even, because when I thought about this earlier, I don't think with the temporary A's that it'll be that the Kings are ever in any danger of losing that chokehold on the city. If they were permanent, maybe. But I still think at the end of the day, this city, it moves with however the Kings are. I don't ever see that changing. I don't ever see that changing.
I think you're right. I think you're right. James, do you think there would be a greater level of excitement today just in the city, maybe surrounding baseball, if the Kings weren't in such disarray right now?
I think there's a lot of excitement about baseball.
There definitely is.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, like this town has been waiting for more professional sports. We see it with soccer. We see it with, you know, certainly the way the Kings have been embraced or the WNBA was embraced here. If I'm the Kings, I would be a little scared. Because if this team does, if the Sacramento A's becomes an actual thing, you better be good. Because you're going to be competing not just for heavy ticket prices, but you're going to be competing for that local business dollar that the Kings have a monopoly on. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think this was a very risky proposition for Vivek Ranadive, unless he's getting a big piece of a pie if they stay here and he's going to be a part owner and stuff. Because if not, man, you could, you know, if they stay here, you know, you already got them for 3 years. They're already out there selling stuff. If you somehow extend them and they stay for 5 years or 6 years, which is totally within the realm of possibility, and then if they do actually end up staying, man, this has already been like a mediocre to moderate like corporate base town. That would be a big blow if all of a sudden they're taking a bunch of your sponsorships.
I feel like you got something to say.
I don't think it's that dire. Like I just don't.
Well, I don't think this is
a king city, and as long as we're alive, it's going to be a king city.
I don't think the sponsorship thing is because it's sold by the same people.
Maybe.
If you want to sponsor with them, got to sponsor with them.
Well, that's...
Yeah, but there's... I mean, we all know this. I mean, we're in that business. Like, there's only a certain amount of sponsorships out there. There's only a certain amount of dollar available in a town like Sacramento. There is not like a ton of huge businesses that are based out of here. And so everything you're doing, like you can tie yourself to some corporate, you know, larger corporation out there. But like there is not, I mean, you look at the naming rights to the baseball stadium, Sutter Health Field. The partner with the Kings is Kaiser. Okay, that's your two major. There isn't a bunch of people like fighting for dignity. The Dignity Health isn't part of the conversation, but there's only so many of these big money people out there in Sacramento. You know, who's going to get Southwest Airlines? Who's going to get the best car companies? Like, once you start getting
who's
down
gonna
to
get
it,
the airport.
Yeah.
Well, them airport ads be running like crazy.
I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you, the airport. Yeah. Put a rabbit there.
Plus, I would say this. Like, when you look at a lot of the season ticket holders, the corporate season ticket holders in Golden One, there are a ton of law firms that own suites. There are a ton of, you know, like insurance companies that own suites. Like, that money can dry up very quickly if you have something else that is competing against it. And forever, Sacramento has not had to compete against any of that. You know, the Kings have not had to compete against anybody at all. So now we'll see how they do. And I don't think, like, a three-year trial run here, that's not a big deal. The big deal for me is if you're bad for the next 3 years and all of a sudden the A's decide to stay, and your ticket prices are sky high still, but the product is what it is, then you're going to start bleeding to the other sports venues. And I would say that about not only Major League Baseball, but I would say that about the soccer stadium being built as well. Like, you could lose money. You could lose not just corporate money. You could lose season ticket holder base to these other sports because, like there's only so much revenue, like, from fans. Like, everybody's got a budget, and there's only so much revenue that you can keep gaining from a fan base. And then if you start splitting that up, that pie, into different groups, you're going to lose some there, too.
That makes sense. That does make sense. I still think you're talking about the NBA, though. And those, everything else that we're talking about is behind the NBA. Like, even in the most cynical way, like the most just dire way, if somebody had a choice for season tickets, do you want season tickets to see LeBron, Steph, Giannis, all these other guys, or do you want to see Jackson Holiday when he comes through? Like, it's still the NBA. Like, then you get to a point where it's the NBA versus the USL.
Yeah.
And if you got the money, I'll pick and choose where I can go to the USL. I'm going to get these Sacramento Kings tickets, season tickets, or a partnership or something like that.
I could see that, but I could also see someone looking at the season tickets price for going to USL games and being able to afford it to go take their family, and then looking at what a night out at Golden One looks like and saying, oh, I think I can go to 25 games a year, or I can be a full season ticket holder for USL and I can afford 10 games of Sacramento Kings. And are the 10 games, am I going to get to see, like, the great athletes? Sure. But at the other side, you get to go out there every week. You get to be part of something different. So, like, I think that there, you know, you hope that there isn't, like, a whole bunch of splitting of the pie here, that the Kings still would have sort of their capital here. But at the same time, you can't just keep raising ticket prices to astronomical rates to where you're one of the top two or three highest ticket prices in the country, well, in the NBA, and then you put out a team that's got 38 losses and 36 wins. That, like, the ticket, the prices to what we're seeing on the court, that's not going to work out, and it will become about supply and demand. At some point, you're going to have enough season ticket holders who drop off and say, yeah, I'm not doing that anymore. That wasn't worth it to me, and where can I spend my discretionary income? And that could be baseball, it could be soccer. And that, just, like, if you're the Kings, be good. Like, go out there, make the right moves, like, improve the product on the court, because right now the product on the court, and for, let's say, 18 of the last 19 seasons, hasn't been good enough even slightly.
Isn't that all, sorry, Dame, but isn't that more of the reason why you won't see a complete teardown?
No, you're right about that. I don't think you can see a teardown. Mm. Well, I mean, that's, like, we always talk about, like, hypotheticals, but I try to, like, at least with the hypotheticals that we bring up, I try to live in the world of reality. And the world of reality says that with ticket prices, like, they would need to cut ticket prices by 20%, and they're not going to cut salary by 20%. So how are you going to balance out? Like, if you're going to have this type of product on the court, you have to drop season ticket prices. You have to drop all of your ticket prices. So, like, for me, yeah, like, they're, the possibility of them completely tearing this thing down to nothing is almost non-existent, because at least for the next 2 years, you could probably move Sabonis to summer if you want to, and or if he forces you to. But I don't think you're going to be able to move Zach LaVine, and that means 2 years of Zach LaVine. Then what else? Can you move a Malik Monk? I mean, you can take massive steps backwards if you want. But I don't know what for. Like, you got like nice things moving into your neighborhood. You can't just have a bad team. And so that's why I think that they will try to improve what they have right now. But we don't even know who's going to be making those decisions at this point.
And do you, is it inevitable to you that a change is coming to that front office?
Well, one way or another, it's coming either way, because Wes Wilcox just walked out the door. So Monty McNair, like, we always hear what Wes does and what Monty does as far as GM and assistant GM. Well, Monty isn't going to be Wes. He's not just all of a sudden going to be Wes and run an entire front office, run the medical staff, the media relations staff, the training staff, the back half of the you know, coaching staff. On top of that, Monty's not going to make all the phone calls that are necessary to make these trades. That's just not who he is. So either way, there's going to be someone there. It's whether Monty stays or not. But there will be someone there that's like going to step into a Wes Wilcox role if Monty is still around.